In a world of conflicting values, when questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Now, here's the Word for Life broadcast, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church.
Welcome to the Word for Life from Brookside Baptist Church here in Brookfield, Wisconsin, with Ken Keltner, pastor of the church, and this is Wade Coolwin, the administrative pastor in the study, coming to you from, again, Brookside Baptist Church. I want to encourage you to come to the services here at Brookside, and the morning service is 9 and 10:15. And interspersed also, at the same time, we have Sunday school classes for children, preschoolers, teens, and several classes for the adults. So that's at 9 and 10:15. And Pastor Ken is going to be preaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and on the practicing God's principles in your individual circumstances of life. It's going to prove to be an extremely practical message. Trust that you'll be out at 9 or 10:15. Then tonight, evening service at 6 p.m., and we'll be praising the Psalms as we examine Psalm 32. There's a number of services and discipleship opportunities on Wednesdays for every age. So I encourage you to check the website brooksidebc.org and find a complete list for everyone from nursery right on through all the adult classes and children's fine arts and teens and all kinds of things. So check out the website, go through it and see the opportunities that are afforded to you and to your family. So we're continuing as we're working through Joshua and taking the next step in our study there. And Pastor Ken is going to continue that study right now.
In chapter 21, we have noticed three truths. We've looked at two of them thus far. God's going to keep His word. He is going to be faithful and true to keep His promises. Secondly, God will protect. We've seen how God kept His word there with the Levites, and they have now been given cities that they can inhabit. They are completely in and around the other tribes and the other cities, so they have a complete presence there in Israel to help Israel to stay on track in their walk with God. And then secondly, how God protected them. And God gave them, he all the way back from Genesis 12 to this chapter, when chapter 21 ends, we read that God had sworn that this is what He would do. He would provide for their fathers. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken. I mean, as we've talked about, this is a sledgehammer of theology here. He keeps pounding this thought home. God will provide. But God will protect, and He has protected them. And they have come now into the land. But then also in verse 44, this third truth is God will give rest. You know, we have some great passages of Scripture concerning God's rest. A couple take place in Hebrews 3 and Hebrews chapter 4. The writer of Hebrews is warning Jews, or anybody for that matter, who is flip-flopping on the edge of a decision of total commitment to Jesus Christ. And if you notice, in verse 8 of chapter 3, the warning in Hebrews comes in, do not harden your hearts. And it's repeated over and over. In verses 15 through 19 of chapter 3, listen to what the writer of Hebrews has to say for us. And Pastor Wade, why don't you read that for us?
Verse 15, while it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now with whom was He angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief.
And then an interesting illustration this New Testament writer here in Hebrews is giving and reminding those he's writing to, because he's saying, don't harden your hearts like your fathers, like Israel did. Again, we've talked about it often throughout this study, but Israel was rescued from Egypt, headed toward the promised land, but on their way to the promised land, they got stopped. They stopped believing God. They didn't put their faith in what God said he would do. Therefore, they didn't enter into the full rest of Canaan. That generation, 20 years of age and older, they died. They halted at a crucial place of decision. Am I going to trust God or am I not going to trust God? And so the warning here is, don't do what Israel did. Oh boy, it brought back a memory. Pastor Wade, we were living up in northern Wisconsin, and my son was just about ready to turn 16 to get his license. And I remember we were there in Iron Mountain, and we'd stopped at a McDonald's along the way. And I said, but, you know, we haven't stopped at McDonald's and taken McDonald's home. Let's take it home to the family. And so we ordered it, and we're on 41 heading back home and get into Wisconsin from the UP. And I'm going a little too fast because I don't want those burgers to get cold. And sure enough, a county sheriff passed me, and boy, he turned around, put the lights on. And I'd been talking to my son, Pastor Wade, about, you know, son, do not speed. You know, you don't want to burn tires out by peeling out all the time. You know, you got to take care of things. And I've been giving him this whole spiel, and here I am getting pulled over. And the officer came up, and he said, sir, I caught you speeding there. Was there a reason you're going fast? And I said, well, there was a reason, but it wasn't a good reason, sir. Mm-hmm. So, you know, no, I don't really have a good reason. He took all the information, and my son looked at me and goes, Dad, why didn't you tell him the burgers were going to get cold? I go, I don't think that's really what he wanted to hear. But I will never forget this. He came back up. Sure enough, I got the ticket. But as he gave me the ticket, he looked across, saw my son, who was grinning from ear to ear, and he said, son, you look like you're about ready to get your license. He said, yes, sir, I am. And he said one of the things that was like a knife in my heart, Pastor Wade. He said, then don't do what your daddy's doing right now. And so sure enough, I started to say thank you and get my ticket. And as we're driving away, I look at my son and I go, do not tell your mother what has happened. Don't tell mom what happened. And I kid you not, Pastor Wade, as soon as we got to our duplex, I mean, he jumped out of the car and he goes, hey, mom, we got McDonald's, but it was expensive. The McDonald's, it was $126. And she came out and she goes, oh, so you got stopped by the sheriff, huh? And when I look at this warning here, it kind of came back to me. Don't do what your daddies and your granddaddies did, basically. Mm-hmm. Do not hang on the balance of hearing the message of the cross and sit there and make no decision. The more a person hears the gospel, the easier it seems like, for them to continue to reject it. Friends, if you're listening and you have never put your trust in Christ alone for your salvation, one day you're going to wake up and realize your heart has been hardened. You have an evil heart of unbelief towards God. And that was the reason many Jews never made it to Canaan, because of their unbelief. Unbelief will forfeit rest. That word rest is used in Psalm 95. The psalmist says this in verse 8 of Psalm 95. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Friends, no one will experience God's rest apart from faith. Mm-hmm. Many can listen to a broadcast on a radio, or even be sitting in a church listening to the preacher and preaching of the word, and they go full steam ahead for the world, and they don't trust the Lord. I mean, this is a very, very important decision. You know, friends, you're going to make many decisions in your life, but when it comes to eternity, there are only two choices you can make, heaven or hell. Either I'm going to trust God fully for my eternal soul or not. It was extremely important for Israel to trust God. It was the key for Israel. It's the key for us today. The generation that we read about today that went into Canaan, possessed it, received rest for a period of time, but then rejected God's information to them, and God drove them right back out of the land at a later time. So really, there was no rest totally in Moses' day or in Joshua's day. The rest of Canaan is a physical rest from fighting enemies, but friends, it's also a picture of divine spiritual rest that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. It's a picture of salvation rest. It's available only to those who believe and who trusted in Christ. It's not talking here about Canaan being heaven. Mm-hmm. Moses couldn't make rest happen for Israel because of their unbelief, and Joshua could not make it happen either. But God has an eternal rest that's available to you by faith in Christ Jesus alone, and it takes great, and it's greater than Moses and greater than Joshua to make it a reality. It took Jesus Christ coming, meeting the standard of God, living a perfect life, and putting himself on that cross for you and me. The rest that the psalmist was speaking of is not the physical rest of Canaan, for that was only temporary. God wants us to know that rest can come to us today, and it's going to come by faith and by belief in Jesus Christ. Let me close by just giving you, if you're taking some notes, or if you can remember this, what does God's rest include? It's a rest from self-effort. No more trying to be good enough to get to God. No more trying to please God by what I do and by my works. That's just an endless, fruitless effort to save oneself. I mean, this type of self-effort, it will never give rest. That's why you can see those that are out there trying their best to get to heaven, and you ask them, are you 100% sure you're going to live with God in heaven one day? And they usually tell you, well, I sure hope so. Mm-hmm. I've tried to live a good life. This rest is a rest from worry. It's not distracted with the things of the world. It's to be free from the worries that we can have in our minds. It means to be free from the payment of sin. It does not mean the guilt of sin as a believer, because if I sin, I'll be convicted of my sin. Mm-hmm. But it's a rest from worry. It's a rest from religion. It means no more running from philosophy to philosophy, not carried about with the winds of doctrine. It means I'm positionally established in Jesus Christ, and that gives me rest. It's a rest in Christ Jesus. My confidence is in him. My dependence is upon God for support, for his help, and for his power. As you go throughout this day, may you keep that thought in mind as a believer in Christ. God has provided rest in his Son if we will consistently just depend on the truth of God's word to take us through the circumstances of this life. Thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to our next time together in the book of Joshua.
We hope you enjoyed today's program. If you have a question we can answer or would like information on the Word for Life, would like to donate to help continue to produce this broadcast, or need resources for your Christian walk, contact us at Brookside Baptist Church, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. You can also visit us at brooksidebc.org. That's brooksidebc.org. Or call us at 262-783-6180. That's 262-783-6180. Thanks for listening today, and please tune in again as we bring the Word of God to your life.